Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all here, and a good number, despite the fact that the Brayhead folk are away for another trip. I wish I had a social life as good as theirs. Yes, Kyle. Oh my goodness, and there was a fire. Well, lovely to have Ross and Kyle and their dad with us again, even though they've moved to Lanark. So I've got quite a few intimations this morning. On Tuesday, it's a week on Tuesday, yeah, the Haven are holding an information fair. So their doors will be open from 11 a.m. till 2, and there'll be tea, coffee, and tours of the Haven available. I was down there this week, and they gave me the most wonderful massage to ease off my stiff shoulders, so to be highly recommended. I'm not quite sure what life-limiting disease I have, other than being alive, but they're looking after me, which is lovely. I also, for some time, I've been meaning to draw your attention to life and work. We have Janet here with us, who is the life and work, what's your title? Life and work coordinator, or she's the lady that delivers my life and work to me. This is the Church of Scotland magazine, and it really is an excellent magazine. I would highly recommend it to you all. And I noticed, I just got this one, this is September's issue, and there's an offer that you can get 3 months free, three issues free. Oh, to new elders and new communicants. Oops. but it is well worth the price. It's not expensive. £2.50 per issue, and it's a monthly thing. And this week's one, it seemed really topical because it's the Guild dedication service today, and they've got about three or four pages all about the Guild projects. So some really good reading. Highly recommended, Life and Work. As a presbytery, we're probably all aware that there's a diminishing number of ministers throughout Scotland, but no diminishing number of funerals. So as a presbytery, we're seeking to address that by training elders and members of the congregation who feel that they would like to know how to lead a funeral themselves. And this is a poster all about it. The course will start in November, and after the training, each person will spend 6 months with their minister getting practice of leading funerals. Anyone wishing to do this, please speak to me, because you have to have a conversation with your minister about it. It then needs to go to Kirk Session and then to Presbytery, because obviously not everybody is suitable to do this. But if there's something stirring in your heart and you think you could maybe lead a funeral, do come and speak to me. We'll get that poster up later. I think all the other intimations are on the back of the service. Of course, a week today, we've got Same Difference coming to entertain us in the church at 7 o'clock. Tickets are only £2 each, which is a real bargain. So do see Margaret Hunter at the end of the service if you'd like to come to that. And our Christian meditation course, we've now had 4 of our 6 weeks on a Saturday morning, but if you are interested, do come along. You can join even at this late time. We've got a super group of people coming along, and we're really getting a lot out of it. So I think these are all the intimations. The Guild dedication, I will do the prayer of dedication between the offering and the hymn after the offering. And at that point, I'll ask all Guild members to stand up, please, and we'll say a prayer together. The words of the prayer are being circulated. If you're a member of the Guild and you haven't yet got the words of the prayer, please put your hand up and we'll make sure you get one. Oh, David hasn't got one yet. Can somebody pass a copy of the prayer to David? Oh, sorry, I'll come and get it, Mary. We'll meet halfway. Thank you. There you go. And we are here in this lovely, warm, light, beautiful church with the most gorgeous flowers around us and with all these gorgeous people to worship God. God is love. And we can only love one another because he first loved us. God's love is a perfect love which drives out all fear. Let's begin our service with some words from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. Praise the Lord. Amen. So our first hymn is number 192, All My Hope on God is Founded. Hymn 192. Good morning. We've got a full pew this morning. Now, can I remember everybody's names? Got Ross and Blair. We've got Andrew. And we've got Aaron and Lewis and Jack and Ewan and Harris and Rowan. Rowan. And Katie and Kyle and Curly Caroline and Jennifer, who's hiding. So lovely to have you all here. Did you see that last bit of that hymn we sang, Hear God Call? Did you read that? We're going to listen to a story from the Bible in a wee while about God healing somebody who couldn't hear, somebody who was deaf. Hear Christ call. You're right. Sorry, I misremembered the words. Thank you for correcting me, Kyle. It's good to be right. So I wonder if one of you, or two of you even, would like to come out and try and experience what it's like to be deaf for a few minutes. I've got two sets. This is what you get when you go flying. You get earplugs. Would two people like to come out and find out what it's like to be deaf? Yes, Rowan. Come away, Rowan. And one more? Anyone else want to come and try? Okay, so what you need to do, and never do this normally at home, okay? But these are special things to go in your ears. So we're going to push one of them in each ear. Can you push that in as with your finger? Push it in as firm as you can. Andrew, you ready for your two? You okay to do this? Can you push them in? You push them in yourself. I think they're designed for bigger people. That one falling out. Oops. Can you manage to push it in? Push. There. Can you hear me saying chocolate? I think they're deaf. I'm going to make a noise that you would never normally hear in church, and we'll see if they hear it. Can you hear me? Right, now take the earplugs out. You can take them out. Now, do things sound different? This is what you heard earlier. Rowan, we didn't think you could hear with the earplugs. Maybe you didn't hear it, Andrew. Can you listen? Anybody know what that is? It's a bird. What sort of bird is it? Anybody know? It's a toy, yes. These kids are too clever. A musical instrument bird. But do you know what? You got an idea? Will I let you see it? Nope. It's a blackbird. We don't hear them in church often, do we? Shall I take those from you? Thank you very much. So we've found out a little bit about what it's like to be deaf. I wonder if putting something else in your ears could have a different effect. And we'll maybe ask for another volunteer for this. Does anybody know what this is? Yes, Jack. Do you know what it is? A stethoscope. Yeah, you're going to come out. You two can wait here. So what sort of people use a stethoscope? Doctors. Yes. Yes, Kyle? Nurses. Yeah, anybody else? Yes? Vets. That's why I've got one, isn't it? I used to be a vet, yeah. Well done. So do you know how to wear it? Yeah, the funny thing I always think is you see the bits are pointing in slightly. You actually want them pointing towards the front. Okay. And then to test if it's working, be ready for a loud noise. You hear. Did that sound really loud?
Yeah.
Right, keep them in your ears. Do you know where Jesus lives in you?
No.
He lives in your heart. Do you want to have a listen? Can you hear a boom, boom, boom,
yeah.
boom? Right. How about listening to Rowan? Do you want to listen to Rowan's heart?
Yeah.
Can you come over a wee bit closer? Not good. So the stethoscope lets us hear things louder than usual, and the earplugs stop us hearing things. Do you know what else you can listen to with a stethoscope? What else did I listen to in animals with my stethoscope? You can listen to your heart. What else? Have you ever been to the doctor? What's he said when he's put... Yes, Rowan. Does he say... He wants to listen to your chest. He asks you to breathe deeply, doesn't he? The lungs. Yeah, they listen to the lungs. And there's one other place that I used to use my stethoscope for, which you'll never guess, but I used to listen to dogs' tummies. Because if there's something wrong in their tummy, then sometimes you don't hear all the usual noises that you would hear. So have we learned anything about hearing?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Well, what I'm going to suggest to you, and you can take it or leave it, is that prayer is a bit like taking our earplugs out so that we can hear God better, or it's like putting a stethoscope in so that we can hear God's voice louder. So God can help us through prayer to hear better. So thank you very much for helping me, boys. And let's have a word of prayer together. Lord God, we thank you that you gave us ears to hear. Help us to know the difference between having our ears blocked so we can't hear, or to wear something like a stethoscope so that we can hear even more loudly and clearer. Help us to know that prayer does this for us. So let us say the Lord's Prayer together, the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Yes, Kyle. It's
when a noise hears, it bounces, and if the voice is, and if the bounce is too soft, you'll see we'll have to make the bounce, make it harder. If it's too hard, you'll have to think we'll make it softer.
That's right. Yeah, that sound is actually sound waves that cause a bounce. Yeah. Yeah, because we've got our eardrum and then we've got tiny bones. You're very clever, Kyle. You know lots about hearing. And then there's an electric signal that goes to your brain. Well done, Kyle. Shall we listen to our blackbird one more time, and then we'll sing a hymn about a blackbird as well. Well, it's got a wee mention of a blackbird. Let's sing Morning Has Broken. Now let the youngsters go off down to the hall and maybe learn more about listening and hearing. Let's come before God in prayer. Creating God, we gather this day to worship you and offer you our praise as we begin to see signs of the seasons changing. Through the warmth of the days when the sun comes out, may we be reminded of your love for each one of us, your children. In the changing colours of the seasons, may we be reminded of the diversity of your world. As crops ripen and prepare for harvest, may we be reminded of your provision for us day by day. Lord, open our ears and hearts, and still our tongues and minds to receive your word to us. Stir our imaginations and move us to action as we pledge to pass on the gift of hope for the world through our daily living and in the legacy we leave for future generations. But Lord, where might there be deafness or denial in our lives? Are there attitudes of grudge or resentment, bitterness or anger? Are there patterns of rudeness or gossip? Are there behaviours that are dominating, controlling, or insensitive? Hear Jesus say, Ephphatha, be opened, and hear God speaking. Are we too busy to regularly make time for God? Too tired or too caught up in life's hassles? Has God been relegated to the spare bedroom or the cupboard of our spirit? Hear Jesus say, Ephphatha, be opened, and hear God speaking. Are there deep-seated fears, insecurities, doubts which bind us? Have we faced our fears head on, sitting quietly in their gentle terror with God as our friend? And have we allowed our friend to hold, embrace, and heal our deepest life fears? Jesus says, Ephphatha, be opened and hear God speaking. Lord, open our ears today. Free our spirits from any denial or deafness. Remove anything that is a barrier between you and us. For truly you, as Jesus, do everything well. You make the deaf hear and the mute speak. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now going to use our ears to listen to God's word as Mary Gemmell, representing the Guild, comes and reads from the Bible for us. The first reading is from James chapter 2, and then the Gospel reading is from Mark chapter 7.
James chapter 2, verses 1 to 17. Favoritism forbidden. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and the man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For those whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Faith and deeds. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 37. Jesus is left in that place, Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Jesus heals a deaf and mute man. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of Decapolis. There, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. They begged Jesus to place his hand upon him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosened and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Amen.
Thanks, Mary. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our hymn before the sermon is hymn 706, "For the Healing of the Nations," hymn 706.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts and minds be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock, our Redeemer, and our friend. Amen. Faith and action. James wrote, "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." And yet Paul taught that justification comes through faith alone. And because of James' apparent contradiction of this, Luther, that's the original Martin Luther of the Reformation, described the book of James as an epistle of straw. So how do we make sense of it? Well, I turned to Tom Wright, and this is, I've just quoted him word for word because I thought he's just hit the nail on the head. When James says faith, he means a verbal formula, intellectual consent to Jewish monotheism. While for Paul, faith is the response of faithfulness, which God sought from Israel, found in Jesus, and evokes through the gospel. To revert to my words, James, as I see it, is explaining that our actions arise out of our faith and not the other way round. We certainly cannot earn God's love. That's so laughable to even think about it. But trusting, having faith in our God who is always faithful to us, empowers us to act in positive, life-giving ways to those around us. And even Paul himself describes this in Galatians 5 and verse 6 as faith expressing itself through love. So in this instance, maybe it's Luther who is of straw. James begins this section of his letter with some examples, and I find it quite remarkable, or maybe sad, how well these still apply today. I am delighted that here in 4th St. Paul's, we're not snobs. We welcome everyone in, whatever clothes they wear, wherever they choose to sit, and however they behave. God has no favorites, so neither should we. To emphasize his point, James, who has clearly been to less open and welcoming churches than Forth, asks, "Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court?" And sadly, how true that still is today. Throughout God's world, the rich are getting richer and the poor poorer. We can look at how poorer communities are devastated by disasters like hurricanes and earthquakes because they simply couldn't afford to build stronger houses. Or we can look here in our own country where individuals struggle to survive on low-paid jobs and zero-hours contracts, while others, amongst them politicians, can afford to spend millions on homes, cars, boats, and exotic holidays. In our country, someone on an average salary is investigated by the tax office for some small discrepancy, while Amazon and other large multinationals seemingly get away with tax dodging on a massive scale. But before I get totally political, let's remember that God has chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him. And that's a treasure far, far greater than any earthly treasure. And Jesus' teaching revolves around love your neighbor as yourself. I was really moved when visiting Frankie Hoey's family this week to be told that one of Frankie's favorite sayings was, I'd rather see you through than see through you. Now, I know that I can be guilty of seeing through people. Last Sunday, I was in Edinburgh and tried to avoid looking at the people sitting begging on the streets. I don't go as far as to turn to them and say, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," before I walk past. But I don't do enough to help them either. I remember some years ago, I was at a conference, a Christian conference in Edinburgh, and the main speaker was late back after lunch. Now, most of us had gone off with our friends and had some nice lunch somewhere, but when the main speaker came back in, someone told us that the reason he was late was he'd gone out and bought a sandwich and sat down on a step at the edge of the road with someone who was down and out and shared his lunch and shared chat with that person. That really put us to shame. So James writes that faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Or I love the way that Eugene Peterson interprets this verse in The Message. He writes, "Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense?" And my goodness, if we ever need to look to someone who talks the talk and walks the walk, we only have to look at Jesus. His actions demonstrate his faith so clearly. So looking at the two examples we heard today, the miraculous healing of the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman can be a bit of a difficult one to understand. One bit of background is that although in King David's time, Tyre was on good terms with Israel, sadly, as time passed, Tyre became known for wickedness. The people of Tyre actually rejoiced when Jerusalem was destroyed in 586, because that meant less competition, and that would lead to increased trade and profits for Tyre. Tyre became an evil and materialistic culture, proving yet again that 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil," is true both then and now. But then Jesus moved on. He had gone to Tyre to get away for a while, yet he could not keep his presence secret. Jesus, as often we all are, was in need of a bit of peace and quiet, a rest. And then in comes this Gentile woman. She was Greek. She wasn't from Israel. She wasn't Jewish. She had been born in a part of Phoenicia, which is now known as Syria. So why was she coming to this Jewish rabbi? It seems that she had a faith we cannot begin to understand, for she fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to drive the demon out of her daughter. She must have heard about Jesus from someone and believed that he could heal her daughter, so she took the risk of approaching him. And then there follows this fascinating exchange, which reminds me a little of the conversation between Jesus and the woman at the well, with its kind of batting to and fro. It was common in those times for those who didn't like them to call Gentiles dogs, using a Greek word meaning scavengers. But the word that Jesus uses here is the diminutive form of dog, which means more a household pet or a puppy. Yet we still understand this verse to mean that it was not right to take what was intended for the Jews and give it to the Gentiles. Maybe it was just not yet time. I certainly think that that is what Jesus was meaning, but as ever, he was gentle and compassionate in the way he said it. And the woman, this Syrophoenician, far from being prickly or hypersensitive to being called a dog, even in a gentle term, she was expectant and hopeful as she started arguing. It made me wonder, what blessings do we sometimes miss out on because we're hypersensitive and prickly? Her argument was a good one. "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And for this reply, which demonstrates the strength of that woman's faith, along with her actions of seeking to speak to Jesus, is mightily rewarded. For when she gets home, her daughter has been healed. From Tyre, Jesus walked on through Sidon and down to the Sea of Galilee to the 10 cities. And here, a man who was deaf and almost dumb was brought to him. The people who brought him begged Jesus to lay his hand on the man, believing that that would result in healing. They demonstrated their faith in the action of taking the deaf, dumb man to Jesus. A few weeks ago, our Pilates teacher, Bobby, came back from holiday with both ears blocked with wax from too much swimming. For a couple of weeks, while he used drops to loosen the wax, he was almost completely deaf. It was quite funny. And then one day, after he'd had his ears syringed, he could hear again. And he described how incredibly loud everything had sounded for the first few days. Now, I'm sure this would have been true also for the man in the story, but far, far worse, because he'd been deaf for a long time. So I love Jesus' compassion in that he took the man aside, away from the noisy crowd, before healing his deafness. Jesus used his fingers, his spit, prayer, and one word, Ephphatha, Aramaic for be opened. A little bit more than just laying a hand on him, yet using such a simple thing as his own spit. Then, as he often did after performing a miracle, Jesus told the crowd and the man not to tell anyone. But they simply couldn't hold it in. They kept talking about it because the people were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Now, I'm not expecting, although maybe hoping, that any of us might perform such miracles as Jesus did. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we overwhelmed people with our generosity and our love? If we allow our faith to grow, it will bear fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit, as you all know, is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And as these grow in our lives, everything we do and say will be flavored with these fruit. Because faith and action go together like fish and chips or gin and tonic, always better together. So let's remember Eugene Peterson's words. Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? Amen. One small way that we can demonstrate our faith in action is as we give of our offerings.
Thank you.
And now, as we say our prayer of dedication for the Guild, it includes the dedication of our offering. So I would ask all members of the Guild please to stand, and we will say this prayer together. O Lord our God, we dedicate ourselves to serve you faithfully, to love you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and to love one another as your Son, Jesus Christ, has shown his love for us. Renew us, refresh us, as we continue on our journey through life. Be with us as the Guild constantly faces challenges which lie ahead. Support us as we decide which of the old ways we should preserve and which new things we should embrace. Guide our thinking so that tradition is not preserved for its own sake, nor change introduced just because it is different. We lay before you our gifts of money. May they be used wisely to further your kingdom here on earth. Amen. Thank you, and I dedicate you all. Our hymn, which I think speaks a lot of what the Guild is all about, hymn 710, I Have a Dream, the man once said, where all is perfect peace.
Thank you.
When I chose that hymn, I was particularly focusing on verse 4, where it says, faith proves itself in deeds. But before the service, I spent a bit of time with the Breakfast Club this morning, and Christine was doing some wonderful discussion with the children about what would we campaign against. And we all had to vote. And the one that scored the most votes was campaigning against war. And she also spoke about the need for us to stand up for the right in love, which verse 3 just says it all. So quite amazing how God ties everything together. I also realised that amongst my intimations, I forgot to say that the first guild meeting is tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, and the speaker is myself. And I'm speaking about my experiences in Israel and Palestine. I've taken a lot of time this week, a lot more than I expected, to try and draw together some of my thoughts and experiences and photos. It's going to be impossible to encapsulate it all in a short time. You might have to ring a bell or tell me to stop. But everyone's always welcome to all our guild meetings. Let's come before God in prayer. Loving, living God, we give thanks today for our guild, a precious group of people, those here and forth, and those throughout the world, who know that you, Jesus, are whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the inspiring work of the guild and all their projects, and ask your help as we seek the way, knowing there is one journey, yet many roads. We give thanks for and pray your blessing upon the Guild. And we pray especially for their projects, which are a wonderful demonstration of faith and action. For Crossreach, join up the dots, enabling people of all ages to overcome loneliness and isolation. For Boys Brigade Scotland, faith in young people, developing, challenging, and supporting young boys and men. For the Sailors Society, which we heard so much about last Sunday, who provide a chaplain for our ports, supporting sailors who arrive in Scottish ports and throughout the world to feel cared for and valued. For the Free to Live Trust, SEMA's project, ensuring that children of sex workers in Pune, India, are cared for. For Malawi Fruits, growing the future, encouraging young farmers in Malawi to develop more sustainable farming. And for the World Mission Council, empowering teenage mothers in Zambia to gain education and training. Loving, living God, we thank you for the gift of faith and ask that you help us to put our faith into action. Lord, give us vision. Make us strong. Don't let us rest until we see your love throughout humanity uniting us in peace. And we pray for the families and friends of Margaret Mathers and of Frankie Howie, along with all who are mourning today. And in a time of silence, we lift up to God all those people and situations that are lying heavy on our hearts today. loving, living God, we thank you that you are never deaf to our prayers, that perhaps you have the equivalent of a stethoscope, for you listen to the prayers of our hearts, even if we're unable to put them into words. And Lord, we thank you that you do indeed act out of your love, that you answer our prayers, often not on the time scale and not in the way that we would wish, but that you always answer prayers in the way that is best for us. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And we close our service today remembering that God is always faithful to us. Great is thy faithfulness. So as we go out into the week, let's try and be as faithful to God as he is to us and demonstrate our faith in our actions. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain upon each and every one of us today and forevermore.